Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Well, we're glad to be back. I appreciate the opportunity God's given us to be here. We hope and pray that you've been faithful in praying and have taken heed to the word that's already been shared with us. Just as an update, we've canceled our services until further notice, until we have just more information about what to do and when to do it for the safety of everybody, and to do our best to be compliant with what's going on around us and in our community. We're certainly not at the peak of this yet, and so there's a lot more that can happen. So I'll encourage all of you to be safe and careful. Be responsible in what you're doing. Be just extra careful in all of those opportunities just to do the right thing. Be sure that you do it. Grateful for the church and for the response from the video casts that have gone out already. And we just pray that you'll continue to be careful in watching those. I will announce that we've kind of decided that we're gonna air these on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And Sunday mornings at 11. So each Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and each Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, you can set your clock. We're going to have another sermon to share with you. Certainly appreciate David and all his help bringing this together. So wonderful and just terrific work. And as I watched him again this week, I was just so excited at the what was shared. And so I believe it'll be a help. That's certainly our point, is to try to help and continue to feed the flock and to encourage you to do right. I've got a little support tonight. I'm not in the room by myself and excited for that, just to have some eyeballs looking back at me. They're 6 feet apart, I promise you, and we're doing our best to be safe, but I appreciate Thomas Bonanda being here with us tonight and Bruce Whitehead. Thank you for your prayers. Many of you have sent me notes that you're praying for us, and we just want you to keep praying. I certainly believe that this is a time unlike anything in our history, and I'm just amazed and so excited that God is going to do something that is terrific, tremendous, just beyond what we could think or believe. I just think God is going to do something magnificent with this. I can assure you that he wants to. Amen. His will is to work in all of us to bring us nearer. And I'm just going to confess, I'm nearer than I was. And I thank God for that. It's reminded me, and it has certainly personally encouraged me to get closer to God and to listen more carefully. And so I'm just so excited about what God's going to do. Let me say this before we begin. I love you and I appreciate our flock. We're so proud of our church and our people and their commitment. And so I'm just going to encourage you as I bring the word tonight to do your best. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say in the beginning, I'm going to read tonight from the book of Psalms, chapter number 137. Psalms chapter number 137. And I'm going to read the first four verses of that psalm. But I want to say that this is the first part of a two-part message. And God has been very clear with this. And I'm so grateful for that direction and the Holy Spirit that has been so strong in guiding us in this word. So you pray for us and you just be mindful and respective and let's do our very best to mind the Spirit of God. So pray for us. Psalms chapter number 137, and we begin with verse number 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Father, thank you for your word. We humbly pray that you would use this moment to touch our hearts. Lord, pierce, if need be, the coldness of our heart that doesn't allow you to work nor speak in a way that we can hear you. We repent as best we know how. We're desperate for you. We need you to speak into our lives, all of us. We pray for the needs in our flock and in this community, in this county, in all of these churches, in every precious person that will listen to this. How I pray that it be effectual and just move in each and every soul. We love you, we worship you, and we praise you. For we ask all of this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. When hard things happen, we have to be careful that we maintain the right perspective. I want to be clear tonight. I'm going to use the term perspective in this message and in the next one. But you could use that kind of as an attitude. But I'd like to suggest that our perspective even molds attitudes. So I want to say that what we're going to share with you tonight is about the earthly perspective. When our perspective is based on circumstances, then I can assure you that our perspective is earthly. And everybody has both, right? You've got an earthly perspective and you've got a heavenly perspective if you're a child of God. Now, I'll tell you which one I'd rather preach on, and that's the heavenly perspective. And if he'll let me, that's what I'll do next. But until you get the earthly perspective in check, until we have examined what our earthly perspective truly is, then we're going to have a real hard time getting the heavenly perspective lined up. And so there is a clear direction with the word tonight, and it is that we examine ourselves and we recognize where we are personally with our earthly perspective. I'm going to continue to say through all of this that God's trying to tell us something. And I believe that. And I want to say personally that he's already told me some things, and I tell you, I've had to repent over some things. I've had to bring some things to God that I just asked him to purge me of and to help me. And I tell you, it's encouraged my heart, because when we get serious with God and we begin to examine our own personal relationship with God, I believe that you'll find that God will move in you and he'll help you to get to that place that you need to be. Now, everybody has an earthly perspective. There's no question about that. If you open your eyes and open your ears, and when you see things, that input is going to affect you in some way. And how we manage that is a great difficulty, and certainly circumstances can sometimes be tremendously difficult, or they can be sometimes just amusing or happy or different, and we allow those things to generate or create within us an earthly perspective, and everybody's going to do that. But I want you to think about this today. There's a danger in allowing our perspective to be ruled by the earthly circumstances. There is a great danger in allowing that to happen. And I think that's what you find in Psalms 137. And before we get to that, I want to say personally that it's important that we get just one-on-one with God. I know some of the flock here, they've got their prayer closets and they've got their private time, and some of them actually have a certain time that they've committed with others to pray and to do those things. And those are the kind of things that we need to be doing. And certainly those are the things that help take that earthly perspective and bring it into check. It certainly helps us take the perspective of what's going on around us, which certainly is unprecedented and dangerous likely. But when we think about that, friend, we're reminded that if we're not careful, amen, if you just watch the CNN or the Fox News all day long, amen, the input will overshadow the earthly perspective. And suddenly what you start thinking is nothing about the heavenly, and you lose totally who you are.
I tell you, as a child of God today, I'm not of this world. I'm of a different one, you see. I'm passing through. Boy, I'm wanting to preach that second one already. But I'll tell you right now, the glory of God is greater than anything else in this world. Let me share it like this. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, the Apostle Paul said, in verse 28, he said, "For all things work together for good to them that love God and are thee called according to his purpose." Purpose. May I say that based on that very passage of Scripture alone, that my God has control of all things and that his flock has no need to worry.
Right.
Now, again, that's a heavenly perspective. But if you allow the earthly perspective to rule, if you allow those inputs, those circumstances, those situations that certainly could be hard and they could be devastating, they could be tragic even, if you allow those things to be what dominates your very thoughts and your mind, I can assure you, your attitudes are fixing to take a plummet. They're going to go the wrong direction. And before you know it, you won't even be able to think heavenly.
Amen.
Boy, that's a dangerous thing for the child of God.
Right.
It's not to be able to dwell within the more important perspective, and that's the heavenly one. So I want to preach tonight about this earthly perspective. And I want to say to my flock, specifically, that it is imperative that we as a people get this. Right? I can't speak for this brother's flock or somebody else's flock. I'm talking about this one and every member of this church which falls under my leadership and shepherding. And oh, I pray for you. This is important, you see. See, if we can get this right, if we can bring this earthly perspective into the right place, ain't no telling what could happen. Hey man, we can see 6 Mile Community turned upside down if everybody in this church was to put in order the earthly perspective. Quite literally, if they can bring that outward man under control and bring him under subjection. And so we're going to do our best tonight to share with you this scripture and see what can happen to our attitude towards God when our perspective is wrong. So let me start tonight by just giving you a quick introduction concerning the 137th Psalm. It's a very unique psalm. We attribute most of the psalms to the psalmist David, and that's not actually true. He didn't write all of them. He wrote a large portion of them. But this particular psalm is very interesting, right? David couldn't have wrote this one. Because this one is about Babylon, right? Which was many, many decades after David, the king. Most scholars will say to you that Jeremiah wrote this one. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, wrote this one. Whether he did or not, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. The perspective is clear that it is written by someone that had a clear view into what the children of Israel were going through.
Amen.
And they wrote that from an eyewitness perspective that what they were seeing was being recorded for you and I. Now, I want to say this too, that what the children of Israel were going through, let me be clear. In my opinion, that's far worse than what we're going through.
Amen.
Right? If you give me the choice from having to stand face to face with the coronavirus or being taken captive as a slave and moved 800 miles from home and remaining a slave in a strange land, I'm going to take the virus.
Right?
Right? I'm going to take my chances with the virus. Amen. Because I don't want to be a slave to anybody and I don't want to be 800 miles from home under the leadership of a dictator, the dictator of the known world at that time. I'm going to tell you right off the bat that there's been people go through a lot harder things than what we're going through right now.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. There is commonality here. I can tell you right now, they couldn't go to church.
Yeah.
Right? Their church was 800 miles away. Solomon's temple, which had been destroyed by the Babylonians, amen, they had lost everything. At least ours is still here, and we've got a hope that we can come back in it whenever this calms down. But amen, they didn't have that. They didn't have that. They was in a desperate condition. And I want to warn you what can happen when the circumstances truly are tough. I want to warn you that all of those circumstances can weigh in and it can create within your own earthly perspective some very dangerous attitudes and actions. Number one, verse number one, here's what it says. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. I thought about how dangerous it is when we allow despair to take control. You know, despair is an absence of hope. And the more that you pay attention to the things going on in this world, listen, I'm not saying to you to stick your head in the sand and not listen to what's happening. Right? That's not it at all. I think we ought to be informed and we ought to do the very best we can with the information that we get. And we ought to be excited even in this time. You know why? Because all things work together for good. Amen. Here's what I know. Regardless of what happens, and I don't know whether I'll have the virus or won't have it. I don't know whether I'll live or not live. That's beside the point ultimately. What really matters is that I know that my God does not fail. He won't leave me. He will be with me and never forsake me. Brother, God's purpose is always good. Amen. In me.
Amen.
And you can find encouragement in that. And you can use that information, amen, to correct the earthly perspective, which often brings us to that poor, poor place of despair. Here was the children of Israel. They certainly had something to despair about. But the danger of despair, friend, is that it bleeds over into other things. Here they were. They were certainly in a strange place. And what they did, that despair, that earthly perspective concerning their condition was terrible. And what it drew them to the place where what they did was they just sat down and they cried. Now here's a dangerous thing. What you can do in this particular circumstance is just sit down in despair.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, preacher, I'm not there yet. Well, we may be there. Right? And here's what I'll say to you. I'm not saying that despair won't come to you. It very likely could come to you. I'm not saying to you that these other hard things might not come to you, but as a child of God, we ought to be able to overcome those things.
Amen.
Even though we may despair in a moment, we ultimately have something that overwhelms the despair.
Amen.
And brings us back to the better perspective.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you about your perspective. See, there's a lot of people that they're going to take this particular time, and you know what some of them are going to do? They're just going to sit down. Right? Some of them are going to be so upset. They're going to be so tore up. They're going to be so afraid that they're just going to sit down and put their head in their hands and they're going to weep about this. May I say to you, my God is not out of control.
Yeah.
Amen. He is still in control.
Amen.
And he can do anything that he needs to do or wants to do. And according to the scriptures, he deals with me according to the riches of his glory.
Amen.
I don't get second hands from God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not somebody else's young, and I'm his.
Amen.
Amen. He loves me. He never forsakes me. And he won't start in this. Amen. There is a terrible danger, you see, when we allow the earthly perspective to be overwhelmed with the circumstances around us. We allow ourselves to be drawn in to the very devil's snare. Amen. That's what the enemy wants you to do, is to sit down and put your head in your hands and weep. Just like there's no hope for tomorrow.
Right.
Bless their hearts. There's some people's already gave up. Amen. They ain't even called anything. The world is coming to an end. No. Unless Jesus comes back, she'll carry right on.
Right.
Amen. There may be people dying. That's tragic. Absolutely. Certainly is. And brother, they're going to sorrow and they're going to experience that loss and that grief. And it may come to your family. It may come to mine. I don't know. But here's what I do know. God doesn't change.
Amen.
He's not going to change. This won't change God. It won't change God's people. Ultimately, we've got to be careful. The children of Israel, they just sat down and wept. Here they was in a strange land, 800 miles away. And they were talented people, and they were people blessed of all nations. And what they were receiving was a just recompense. Amen. They were getting judgment from God. They had earned this hard thing. God had warned them and told them, even the prophets prophesied the very destruction of Jerusalem, the very judgment that was upon them, God had warned them of, and they still wouldn't heed. May I say to you today, I think we ought to be listening.
Amen.
Amen. If God's trying to tell us something, I believe we ought to be trying to listen. Because I can tell you right now, I don't want to be the slave of some dictator 800 miles from my home. I have no idea what this is all about, and I'm not claiming to. Right? I'll tell you right now, I'm not God. I don't have the mind of God nor his thoughts. I'm just his messenger. The very best you'll get from me is something he gave. I'm just the messenger. But here's what I do know. My God is perfect.
Right. Amen.
He don't ever fail. And brother, I can tell you right now, he's not in despair.
Right.
He's not sitting there in heaven saying, oh, I just didn't expect this to happen. This is, if I'd have just had some warning, I could have prepared better. I could have built more hospital. I could have done all of these other things. I'm telling you right now, God's not in despair
right.
over what's
Amen.
Going on around yeah. you and I. And we need to wake up today and recognize that the earthly perspective is not what will deliver us.
Amen.
It won't help us. It won't help us. We need something that's greater. And as children of God, we've got it.
Yeah.
Amen. I ain't got to go to Walgreens or Walmart for that. Amen. I've already got it.
Yeah.
It's there. Everything that I need to make it through the coronavirus pandemic, I've already got it. Amen. We may be short on toilet paper, but we've got what we need to make
Amen.
It through.
Amen.
Thank God. The heavenly perspective, you see, changes our attitudes toward God and everybody else and everything around us. Number one, they were in despair. I want to encourage you as the flock of God. Listen, this oughtn't to be something that brings you to despair. You say, listen, preacher, if I lose my husband or one of my children or my parents over this, I'm going to despair. I got that. But according to the scripture, we sorrow, but not as those without hope.
Right, right. Amen.
Even in those tragic things, we have learned that there is hope in those. There is a good thing in those. Certainly, if those that are involved are going to heaven, changes everything, doesn't it? And may I say, before the coronavirus, people still died. Amen.
Right, right.
Had a funeral out here. They still covering up the grave right now. And as we stood out there the other day and conducted that funeral outside, the Holy Spirit of God filled that place. It just filled it. It filled me. It filled a bunch of them in the crowd. And it just spoke to my soul. And God said, it's all right. I've got this one. I've got this one, and we were able to rejoice. Amen. Even in the very depths of sorrow, someone that we had lost, we were able to just rejoice because we knew they'd gone to a better place. You see, when the heavenly comes into play, if we'll be careful, it'll overrule the earthly perspective and it'll put an attitude in us that is dominant. It is an attitude that will succeed. It will win in the end. What the apostle said about it was, as greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, I'm so grateful for that. But the dangers of the earthly perspective, verse number 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Oh, the children of God were famous for their songs.
Yeah.
Right? They were famous for their talent to make music and to sing. And all of those talents were tied to the temple. And that temple was a long way off. And as they looked around at their circumstances, they despaired. And that despair led to something that I believe is even worse. It led to apathy. After they had sat down and wept, they just took that instrument that they used to use to worship God. And they just hung it up on a limb and said, I'm not worshiping God. What have I got to worship God for? Here I am in a strange land, in a strange place. I'm not going to worship God. May I say to you today that I believe one of the greatest dangers of what's going on right now is that people are going to just sit down and disengage. Listen to me, my flock, you hear me now. That is the most dangerous thing that you'll do.
That's right.
Amen. If I see you out somewhere, if we're out and and I look you in the eye and I say, have you been engaging with the sermons? Have you been reading your word? Have you been praying? Here's what some of you, if you're honest, you'd have to say. You'd say, no, I've just been watching the news. No, I've just been watching my phone. I've just been watching my iPad to see what's happening where. Let me tell you something. The very thing that you need to deliver you is right here.
Amen. Amen.
Right here. Always has been. And it is a dangerous circumstance. Hear me now. If you just sit down this entire time, there's going to be a devastating effect to your spiritual livelihood. I am afraid that's what some people are going to do.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now, when it's church time, you know where they're at. There's a bunch of them that come because it's time.
Right.
Right? They've accustomed their routine, everything about it, that they're going to be at church because that's where they're supposed to be.
Right.
But here's, let me tell you something. We say all the time that God ain't in this building, and that's true. Well, he is now, but that's because we're here.
Right. Yeah.
When we leave, he ain't in this building.
Right.
And we make the statement that I can worship God anywhere. And I'll have to say to you, let me be clear, that's not the issue.
Right.
We know that, right? You're smart people. You understand that God doesn't dwell in a building. God dwells in a heart. That's where he dwells. So the issue is not that you can't worship because you can't get in this building. The issue is you can't worship because God is not real in your own heart.
Amen.
That's the real problem.
That's right.
The real problem is that you never wanted to worship to begin with, and now you've got a written excuse to sit down and do nothing.
Right.
At least while you were coming to church, you were somewhat convicted, right? Because if you didn't engage, you knew it. When the Holy Spirit fills this place and you're sitting there like a knot on the log, not participating but spectating, amen, you could sit there and you could kind of hide that, but you knew that you wasn't worshiping. Let me tell you something. Some of you are liable to sit for 7, 14, 21 days and never lift a hand to worship God or to love him. That is dangerous attitude. That is an earthly perspective that is ruling your life. And that scares me. That bothers me as a pastor because I'm not there. I can't look out in there and I can't see those eyes that are desperate for need and help. I can't recognize those troubles and I can't see your face when you're weeping and know that you're under conviction and need God. I can't reach and put my arms around you and pray for you and guide you or help you in any way. Listen to me. That's what God's doing, I believe. He's trying to strip away everything we've depended on and bring us to a place where we understand truly whether or not we have a relationship with him at all.
Yeah, amen.
Some of you are dependent on the pastor to bring it.
Yeah.
Some of you come to church just because you think by being here that meant you worshiped. You can be here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And you know what? If you don't participate, if you don't from the heart worship the King of Glory, not because somebody else did, but because you love him,
yeah, amen.
You didn't worship. And God has stripped away what you were leaning on. And now you've got to be honest with yourself.
Blessing, Lord.
Amen.
It's been near 2 weeks now since when we've been able to assemble. How many of you felt the Spirit of God in your heart?
Amen. Yeah. Blessing, Lord.
Amen. Right? He stripped away that excuse, right? God ain't in this building. I can worship him anywhere. Well, the question is have you?
Yeah. Amen.
And if you ain't worshiped God in the last 14 days, it ain't because God ain't there. Right? We done established that. He's not in this building. He's done stripped that excuse away. Right? You can't blame it on Bruce or blame it on Thomas. Amen. You can't say, well, the service didn't go as I expected. No. You're sitting at home and God's looking you right in the eye saying, what about it?
Amen.
It's just you and me.
Yeah, bless you.
How is it with your soul today? Well, if we get this, amen, we'll come out on the other side and it'll be like a light burning on the top of a mountain.
Amen.
But I tell you, people are going to have to get convicted and repent of sin before they can ever get a heavenly perspective that'll declare to a world that there is a Christ.
Yep.
We're going to have to get honest about what's really going on in our own hearts.
Amen.
Children of Israel, they just, I give up. They're talented. Amen. Their fame had already gone before them. And yet the Bible said they just give up. They hung them old harps up on the willow. Might as well just sit down. Ain't no need to do anything. I'll tell you right now, if there's ever been a time that we're living in a world where people need to see Jesus, they need to see the light of Christ right now.
Amen.
And what are you doing? Amen. Sitting on your phone, feeding that earthly perspective and allowing your attitudes to keep going down and down and down. And when you begin to take inventory and to search and figure out, well, have I really talked with God today? Have I really communed with God today? Amen. You was dependent on the church for that.
Yeah.
But the church ain't there right now. You's dependent on somebody to say, come pray. And you'd get up and come pray. Now it's all on you. Are you praying? See, that gets to the heart of the matter.
Amen.
That'll find out if you're really chasing God with your heart or you ain't.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Because what God is saying is, I've taken everything away. It's just me and you. Is it real or is it not real? Do you love him as much as you always have? Are you willing to worship him in your quiet time while you're at home? Or would you rather feed the flesh with whatever's on TV at that particular moment? Would you rather feed the flesh with everything coming across social media? Or would you be willing to be honest for just a minute and say, this is affecting me the wrong way? This whole event, which I want you to know, I told Thomas when we come in, I'm as excited as I've ever been. God's doing something here that is far beyond what I understand.
Right.
But I am so glad that I am his and he is mine. I'll tell you that. And he's helping me. He's showing me. He's opening my heart. See, I don't have you to depend on.
Right.
He showed me that. Amen. I love you, brother. It helps me. Encourages me when you're at church. And these other people that come, they come because they love Jesus. And I grew a little dependent on that. Hey, right? Listen to me now. Even the pastor. Even the pastor can get dependent upon those faithful sheep that are just obeying God. And you know what? They'll get one-on-one with God and they'll just start worshiping. Ooh, and I'll just join in with them. Good.
Yeah,
that's why he made the church. That's what it's meant for. But when you come dependent on that, amen. And you yourself can't lead yourself in worship with your God. Amen. There is something fundamentally wrong at the very root of the heart. There is an issue that needs to be dealt with. Here's what I'm saying to you. You ought to love Jesus Christ whether you're able to be in a church or not.
Amen.
You ought to love him enough that you're still chasing him Monday afternoon. As much as you were Sunday when you was able to be in that blessed place with all these people. See, we've got an opportunity today, but we're going to have to get serious about our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do I really love him? It's easy to come stand up before the crowd and amen, say, I love Jesus and do all these things and preach and shout and sing and pray and testify. Amen. You can do all those things and you can go home and you can say, well, I really put it all out there for God. But you know what I'd really think he'd like me and you do? I think he'd like for us to get in the closet and shut the door.
Yes, sir.
I believe that would help us more than anything. And I believe that's what God's trying to do for some of us.
Yeah.
He slowed us down. Amen. He's got us at home. We're in a place where he can, if we'll let him, we're in a place where he can finally speak to us.
Right.
Amen. And just bring our heart into that place and begin to check those things that are right and those things that are wrong. Where are you at with God? Let me tell you something. As a pastor, there's something I'm afraid of right now. I fear that some of you are just on vacation spiritually.
Yeah.
You know how the flesh is.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. I happen to have one too. Amen. We all know how the flesh is.
Yeah.
you get somebody say, hey, you don't have to go to church. You know what you do? You kick your feet up. Uh-huh. Let me tell you something. Spiritual worship never stops.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, when we have a soul for God, when we have a longing for God, this kind of thing right here, it'll hit us. And boy, it grieved me. Didn't it grieve you? When I realized we had to shut this thing down and couldn't meet, I'm telling you, I wept. It grieved my heart. It broke my heart. There ain't nothing in this world I enjoy more than assembling with the people of God. My goodness, what a wonderful thing. But you know what? I believe God's putting us in a place where we've got to check ourselves.
Amen.
How's my personal relationship? Let me ask you this question. If there was no church, how spiritual would your home be right now? Let me move on. Verse number 3. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. Now the very ones that carried them away captive, their very captors wanted him to sing. He even goes further and he says, listen, they that wasted us required of us mirth. You know what they were saying? The poor unbeliever was looking in the heart of the people of God, right in the eyes of those that claimed to be the children of the Most High. And they were hopefully, excitedly looking at him and saying, sing us one of them happy songs.
Yeah.
There's people all around you, brother. You know what they want you to do? They want you to sing one of them happy songs. I tell you right now, wouldn't that be a good cool drink of water for us to go out into this world, whether or not you're still able to go to work or you, amen, you're able to at least be a cool drink of water, to be a blessing to someone, to be able to sing that happy song. I tell you right now, there could be more people saved over this particular issue if the children of God will get their heart right.
Amen.
And engage what's going on with worship. Say, you've lost your mind, Pastor. How in the world are you supposed to worship in a time like this? No, my question is how do you not?
Yeah.
How do you not worship? When they come pouring through and they were saying, Hosanna to the King as he rode through on that little donkey. They cried out and said, don't say that. And Jesus said, if you don't, the rocks will cry out. He's worthy of worship.
Right, amen.
I'll tell you, I've sit in heavenly places, and a lot of time they've been in this building. But as many as not, Bruce, have been by myself.
Right.
Ain't nobody knows nothing about that but me and him.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. The poor captors looked him in the eye. The people that were supposed to have the answer just sat down and wept and give up. Talented. The people of God. The lost people, you see, the unbelievers at that point, they'd heard everything about them people from Jerusalem. They'd heard about the magnificent worship and the singing and the talent and all of those things. And yet now they're staring at them and they're pretty pitiful. What would make them want what they had? Well, think about it. Why in the world with one of them folks from Babylon, they watch him for a few minutes. They said, boy, if that's what it means to be a child of God, I'll be all right on my own. I'm happier than they are. What a grand opportunity for us to be able to still sing our song. But friend, that has to come from your heart. See, it's all going back to that personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. You can't fake it no more. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Right? You just can't come and mingle and fit in and sit between and just blend into a crowd. And people think that you went to worship today. I got to hurry. I'm going to hurry, but don't you to hear me. You got a little one at home? You may not know it. She's making notes right now. She said, Dad goes to church all the time. But boy, if he don't go to church, he just sits on his rear and watch TV. You obviously know I didn't mean that. I'm just using you as an example. There's a problem here. If we different at home than we are here, I believe God trying to get to the root of the issue.
Amen.
I believe this whole thing, I don't know ultimately what he's doing worldwide, but I can tell you what he's doing personally. Amen. He's opening up my eyes to the absolute necessity of a one-on-one relationship that involves no one but me and him.
That's right.
Ain't that what true love is about anyway? Is that intimate sharing? Where you at today? Let me finish. Verse number 4. There's a danger of despair when our earthly perspective just forces in around us and all of these circumstances bring us to that place of despair. And then ultimately we make that terrible mistake of just giving up, becoming apathetic. Number 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know what? If you leave that apathy unchecked, before long you're cynical and ungrateful. You're about as negative about everything going on. And the poor lost people of this world are staring the church people saying, listen, I need some direction here. What's it really about? Amen. We've got the answer. We have the hope. But if we allow our earthly perspective to take our attitudes and ultimately bring us to a place where we simply are ungrateful. They said, how in the world are we supposed to sing in conditions like this? You know why they were saying it? Because they were 800 miles from home. They didn't have a temple to worship in. I get it. But ultimately, worship is not about a temple or one's location.
Right. Amen.
If we truly worship God, amen, there ain't nothing can stop me from it. Whether I'm here, whether I'm at home, whether I'm on a tractor or a lawnmower, there ain't anything can keep me from worshiping God.
Amen.
What this does is it really strips away those things that are truly wrong in us. Maybe some of us become dependent on someone else for our worship. I mean, it's like a baby. If you never give it a spoon, it'll never learn to eat. I mean, they just sit there and open their mouth while you stick it in. We can't be like that. Listen, we have to get to the place that we allow that earthly perspective to be overshadowed by that which is greater. Let me finish with this. How should we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We can make all kinds of excuses and we can say there's 100 different things. Amen, to why we can't worship God. But I'm telling you right now, God has done an extraordinary thing in this event. And he has stripped away all excuses. It really is just about you and God right now. So let me ask you a few questions as I close. Have you grown dependent on the pastor or the worship leaders or someone else in order for you to truly worship God? And I'd have to say the answer for most of us is yeah. We get pretty comfortable at somebody just feeding us good stuff. And before we know it, we just think we don't have anything to do. And so we let them keep doing it. I think God's trying to wake us up from that. Let me ask you another question. Do you really have a relationship? Maybe the problem with your worship is that you really don't know Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. What I find from the examples in the Word of God is the people that met Jesus, the next time you saw them, they were following him.
Right.
They were after him. They were chasing him. They loved him. They were pouring ointment on his feet and on his head and weeping on his feet and wiping it with their hair. Amen. They loved Jesus. What about you? What about you? Have you taken for granted what it takes for worship to happen in your own heart and when? I mean, who really made up the rule that we could only worship on a Wednesday night or a Sunday? Right? We know that don't float. You know what God's doing? He's checking that. He's checking that. Some of you are saying it ain't Wednesday. I ain't going to pray. It ain't Sunday. I ain't going to read my Bible. That is a false direction. And if that's what's in your heart today, that needs to be repented of and turned from. Your desire for Christ should have nothing to do about what day it is, when it is, or whether or not certain people are around. Either you love him or you don't. Either you're his and he is yours, and that is the relationship, or it's not there at all. Are you really saved? Are you really born again? Let me ask you this question. If we weren't sending out these video casts, how many of you would do nothing? Right? Because here's another danger, right? You're going to say, all right, Wednesday at 7 o'clock, Sunday at 11, I'm going to be sure and tune in and I'll check that box. No. No. That is evidence that your heart is not where it needs to be. I believe that's what God's trying to do with this. He's trying to open up our eyes to the truth. He wants a relationship with you outside of this place. And he's checking it. He's checking it. Some of you can't worship God without the assistance of others. Check that. Last one. The real voice of God in all of this is challenging our personal relationship with the Creator. But truly, you know by now, we 10 to 14 days into this thing, you know right now, if you take a simple inventory of your spiritual whereabouts, you know right now whether or not there's something you need to deal with personally with God. And if you're not hearing God speak, it's because you're not asking. It's because you're not still. You're not quiet. You're not seeking. Oh, there's a danger in this liberty that we suddenly have. This liberty, right, not to have to show up at 9:30 on Sunday morning or 6 o'clock on Sunday night or 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Right, there's a certain liberty. And you know what? When you suddenly have the option to choose whether you will or won't go to church, when that suddenly has changed and now you simply can't, if you default to just sitting down and giving up and not worshiping God, it is an indication that there is something wrong inside. And that is what we have to deal with. That is what we have to deal with. And when we deal with this, our relationship with Christ will grow and it will become stronger. And our ability to worship and share that song everywhere, all the time, wherever we're at, that will make disciples of others, right? Because when they see the mirth, the song of Zion, they'll see that there's a God behind it. There is a reason we sing. There is a reason we worship. Check yourself. Bow with us as we pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray. We thank you for the challenge. Oh, what a challenge to my soul personally, to make certain that my worship is not linked to the ability of one playing a piano or playing a guitar or singing a song My worship has got to be simple. It's just you and me. And I love you with all of my heart. And I worship you. I worship you. Help us to get to the place where we admit this problem.
where we're honest about our condition. And we're willing to say, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us. We need, for the sake of those around us, to be not filled with an earthly perspective, but one that's far better. And I pray that we all have received this truth, that these dangers will stick near to our minds and be in our remembrance as we navigate these hard times. And may our hearts truly be seeking you and not this world. We pray this as we ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' holy name, amen.